Welcome to the Experience Focused Leaders Podcast. My name is Alex Shevelenko. I'm CEO and founder of Relate2, and we are on a mission, both with the podcast and with Relate2, to bring the most important ideas to life. And how do we do that? We do that through amazing, immersive, engaging experiences that move your organization forward, move your customers forward, and move us as a society forward. So if you love ideas, if you love bringing these ideas to life, stick around. Also, at the end of the podcast, we'll reveal how you could potentially be a guest speaker on the podcast as well. Let's get started. Welcome, Scott Britton, an entrepreneur, an author, and a consciousness explorer. Scott is exited his previous company, Troops, to Salesforce in 2022, and started during that a journey that ended up being described in his book, Conscious Accomplishment, of how to do great things in life while reach more consciousness and self-awareness in the process. Scott, welcome to the pod.
Alex, it's great to be here, man.
Well, I'm really delighted to chat because I think many an entrepreneur sets out with this ambition of how they're going to change the world for the better and, you know, have impact in the world. And sometimes get kind of caught in the world of, you know, feeling in the VC goals or like looking successful by whatever metrics are of the day. And you've developed a framework that helps people both be impactful professionally and have a much richer life as a human being. I'd love to hear more about that because I think, you know, historically we're used to people kind of go on the guru quest and become a guru and exit the world or be a superstar in the world and of material things, but then hate everything about that one, you know, or feel unfulfilled. And I think you're providing a third way.
Well, thanks, Alex. And I'm excited to talk about this topic. And I think it really starts with just like a general awareness around like, what are your actual problems? And so I think for a lot of us, like when you ask us like, well, what do we want? Right. Or what is our problems? It's like, well, my company hasn't been as successful, or I don't have a girlfriend, or I don't have the house I want, or I don't have the money that I need to do X. Right. Like it's always like something outside of ourselves that we're pointing to as the reason for why we're not stoked on our life. And I think the reality is that there is a, you might have this experience, or many entrepreneurs have this experience, where they go and they get that thing, yeah, right? They get that thing that they thought was the answer and they feel good for a day, right? And then they're back in the same experience. And you go through this cycle enough times to realize that like the actual thing that you want is to feel a certain way and to live your life from that feeling, it could be joy, it could be vitality, it could be love, it could be trust, right? It could be presence. And that's an inside job. That's a consciousness thing. It's not a do I have the world perfectly organized around me thing.
Right.
And so I think like that fundamental understanding is really important for people because it kind of sets up the journey of like, okay, well, if my problems are really kind of the way I see the world, the way I react to things, the way I perceive my circumstances, well, then how do I approach working on that while also doing all the other things I have to do in life?
Yeah.
And I think the answer traditionally for people who have this recognition that like, okay, this is actually for me to feel the way that I want to feel is like an inside job and to really go for it, right? I'm not talking about like do therapy every other week. And I'm talking about like really go for your highest potential as a human, as a soul, I would even say, in a human experience. The traditional path for that has been, okay, go all in and go to India or go to the Himalayas or, you know, become a spiritual coach, teacher. Like there isn't, there hasn't been a lot of like middle way. And I was just very fortunate to meet a teacher that was like, every single thing in your life and the way that you relate to it is a mirror that's pointing back towards what is in your consciousness, an aspect of your consciousness, right? So like,
and Scott, let's just make it real for people. Cause you in your book, you cover some great examples from, you know, very basic one, like being, you know, the queue running too long for coffee to avoiding, you know, writing checks and making payments because of, you know, fear of like financial things of us, you know, let's throw out a set of examples of that are kind of like dojo for our self-awareness journey. Yeah. Here.
So let's say you have 12 months of runway left, right? In the bank. One CEO might look at that and his automatic response to that might be, shit, like we only have a year of runway left. I thought we'd be further along, blah, blah, blah. Another CEO might look like that and be like, wow, I have 12 months that I can pay my people. Mm. What a luxury.
Yeah.
Right? Or you have to fire an employee. One person knows they have to fire somebody and they just avoid it like crazy. Right? And another person knows they have to fire somebody and they're like, wow, I'm so grateful for this person's contribution. And also I'm very excited for us to both move on so we can be more aligned on both sides. And so like in both of those examples, like the situation itself, the external.
And by the way, we're not putting value judgment on the person, right? Like, cause the CEO is like the one that's avoiding it. He probably is a good, like in like good human being. They don't want to hurt this other person.
Totally.
They're coming at it not from some kind of like meanness or anything like that, right? Like they're procrastinating, delaying, probably creating problems both for that person and for their organizations because they're delaying that decision, right? But they're just not aware of the different approach that they could take. Is this correct?
Right. And I think it's even more than that. It's like when we have these responses in the way that we're relating to these events.
Yeah.
It's we're not usually choosing it. It's automatic. Like you don't decide I'm going to procrastinate firing this person. Yeah. It's more like, oh God, this is going to be so hard. I hate this. Oh, I'm going to do something else. You have an automatic response to the circumstance. Hmm. And as you can see between some of these contrasting examples, different people have different automatic responses.
Right.
And most what I came to learn is that a lot of my automatic responses to stuff were not helpful.
Yeah.
Right. It was like,
right. So if your automatic response was getting you in the long term to the right correction, then to the right destination, maybe that's okay. Right. Like you kind of lucked.
Yeah.
You were wired the right way from the beginning and God bless. Right.
Yeah.
And there's some people like that and you know, God, like that's awesome, but like even the most people that are awesome aren't like that in everything. Is that kind of
yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like I would hate looking at my credit card bill and I would put it off and I would pretend, you know, it was just like, and that just that little example, right, was just not useful for me. And also indicated that like a lot of beliefs that I had, I didn't even know about scarcity around money as an example. Right. Like, cause I didn't want to like see the money going out of my account. And so when you start to realize this, you're like, well, what is the source of all these automatic reactions?
Right.
And like, work with them to show up more effortlessly and embody the traits and way of being that I do want to bring into the world to be a better leader, to be a better parent, to be a better friend, to be a better son, and ultimately to just live my best life. And to me, like, that is what the consciousness journey is all about. And so back to kind of like, how do we do both? Like, okay, so you have all these, you start to see that there's all these automatic ways you're relating to things. And that's really when you notice something that's not serving you. For me, those were like started out with like my triggers, right? Mm-hmm. So like a client wouldn't get back to me. I'd start to get really nervous, or like, you know, a girl that I liked would shut me down. Like I would get really down, or I'd get mad at an employee. Like all of those things, all those automatic responses are pointing to something inside of an aspect of my consciousness. And you can think about your consciousness as just like a database. Yeah. It's like a database of like everything you've ever experienced that creates these patterned reactions. These like, if this happens, then do that. So it's kind of like,
here's my backstory. Here's my genetic predisposition. Here's the overriding cultural narrative that has activated that. Here's the comparison to how I fit into that world. And so some version of that you're not fully aware of, most of it, probably like most of it is iceberg that you don't see that's under the surface. And it is basically just pushing you in that avoidance
It's basically controlling because it is like the substrate or like the layer that determines the way you think and the way you see things. Right. So it's like a guy sees two people look at a massive wave in Hawaii. One guy goes, "Wow, I can't wait to surf that." Another person goes, "Holy shit, that's scary as hell." Yeah, yeah. They have a different background layer that's creating their perception. And so working on the consciousness level is working on the background layer. And for me, I think the most obvious place to start is like all these like unhelpful reactions of stress, doubt, getting upset, all of these things. And we can use those, we can identify those while we're going about our life, right? So while you're running a company, while you're leading a team, while you're being a parent, right? And so like what I found, and there's certain practices and exercises where you can use that initial experience of like, wow, I got really upset over this thing for no reason, to actually go into that subconscious, that part of your, you know, database of all the experiences and the culture and beliefs and ideas, and identify like what that is that caused that, that thing. It's like at the root. Mm-hmm. And basically, write a new story,
right?
Change the information. And when you change the information at that level, it changes how you show up automatically.
Yeah.
And so, like I thought that I was the master of my life. Like, right. Like I was like, I got shit under control, and I was essentially,
and by the way, I'm going to give you a brag sheet, like Princeton All-Star Ivy League athlete, you know, 30 under 30 exit, you know, your own company. Like you were like, you on paper,
I was killing it, man.
You're killing it, man. And probably you could do the VC talk as we're chatting, like about it was easy for you to raise. You looked the part, you fit into you knew the story that you could do, the framing that you needed to do for others to be successful in that world. But underneath,
it's a different story, right? It's a different story. And I think like, it's like you could be killing it, right, by the external world, but you could also still be having your life run by these automatic patterns that you don't even know exist. And I'll give you another example of one that I think a lot of people relate to. So, you know, I was a very productive, prolific accomplisher. And when I started to have health challenges, I couldn't work. I couldn't be productive. And I would just feel like absolute shit that I couldn't get anything done. And I just thought that was like, one day it just kind of hit me. I was like, wow, I can only feel good about myself if I'm being productive.
Right.
And I actually feel worthless if I'm not being productive.
Right.
And like, that might be like a really good consciousness pattern, I'll say, for someone to just be like constantly achieving. But I don't think that's a very useful automatic strategy that my consciousness was running to live a happy life.
Yeah.
Like ideally you could not do something and just say, you know what? I'm sick and I don't feel right now. And I'm just going to give myself the grace to just move through this and not beat myself up.
Right.
But that wasn't the script that my internal system had. And so like, you know, it was just like so eye-opening and crazy to me that it's like, I thought I was like in control, and actually it was like this huge vault of like all these things that were like really kind of like jerking the strings of my life and how I perceived and reacted to everything.
So what compelled the shift from, I think, early steps for you? You were like doing some meditation, you know, like there was kind of like, you were coping with ways to reduce stress. I think a lot of, you know, super accomplished people have some kind of routine, right? They do sports, they maybe meditate, you know, they watch their what they eat. So there's let's say there's ways to cope on that level with stress. But and like there's something that made the shift for you to go deeper for yourself, and you've now worked with and seen a lot of other folks. Like, what would you say is the pivotal point for people who are still, you know, like a little bit on the fence, like get a glimpse of what's out there?
I think there's two things I usually see. One, some type of breakdown.
Yeah.
So like some type of like really reaching a low.
Yeah.
And that could be like realizing you're depressed. It could be losing a loved one. It could be a breakup. It could be something that happens that you fundamentally realize, like whatever you're doing isn't working,
right?
Or that you need to change.
Okay.
And the other thing I would say that also could have it is someone having some type of peak experience that opens their eyes that there is something bigger and more out there than they previously perceived. And I would say in my own experience, I had both.
Okay.
I had like, you know, I had turned, by the time I was 30, I had like had all these accolades and done all these things and my life looked like paper. And dude, I just started to realize, I'm like way less happy than I was 5 years ago. And 5 years ago, I was way less happy than I was 10 years ago. Like my trend line is shit. Like whatever I'm doing here, like it's just not actually making me feel good. And I also had my first altered state of consciousness in a psychedelic experience. And that made me realize, whoa, like there is more to reality than just the physical material plane.
Right.
And, you know, in combination.
So raising a series A is not peak life experience.
I mean, you know, you gotta enjoy it all, right?
Yeah.
Like raising the Series A is great. Touching the divine is great. You know, don't do one, or you don't need to do one or the other.
You don't need, right. One does not preclude the other. Okay. And one of the things that I found really amazing in your book is that it's not, a straight line. Like, okay, I have this peak experience and maybe I had this crisis and, I was smart enough not to waste it and I could have started doing the work. And at least for me, like I think I'm somewhere on this journey, but it's like I would say on the whole, it's like two step forward, one step back. And
Dude,
so
totally,
there are days
man.
when there are two steps back. Like typically, like when I screw up something with the family and just like get in the into some patterns that kind of are not there. And like and so I have like and maybe like we were discussing earlier, there may be not like crisis, but like you start seeing. Hey, I screwed something up here in my personal relationship with my wife. And I'm doing the same thing with my kids. And by the way, I did that the other day, like something similar in a meeting where I talked too much or I didn't create space for the other people. And then I'm like, oh man, that is just juicy area to start digging
Oh,
into.
yeah.
But it's not like I didn't know that I could be doing better. Like it was just so it feels like you're just unraveling in this long string of things. What have you seen for yourself? What have you seen for kind of other folks that are embarking on this journey? Like, is this like
I think
I've seen the light and it's and that's it,
No,
or
dude,
like is
not
this
at
more
all,
what I'm
man.
describing?
It's what you're describing, dude. It's like one step forward, yeah, two steps forward, one step back. It's non-linear, it's up and it's down. And I think that's just maybe there's people out there like supposedly like Eckhart Tolle just like woke up on a bench and was enlightened, right? Like
Wow.
after some insane suffering. But
That is right. Yeah.
I think for most people,
Yeah.
right, it's
Yeah.
much more like our journeys where I still am constantly having things come up that I'm like, fuck, man, I thought I was over this. Like, I thought I like handled this, right? And it's just the way I relate to it, it's like you're just reaching deeper layers. Like, there's just deeper layers. And I actually, my personal belief is that there is an orchestrating intelligence, in this reality that is actually intentionally helping organize those circumstances for you to experience so that you can become aware of those deeper layers.
Right.
Because otherwise, there would just be no way for you to understand like whatever's next in your personal growth curriculum.
So life is a big lesson.
I think so. I mean, I think
Getting
it's
rid
like
of
I've heard
stuff
people
that's not
say Earth is
helpful.
a school.
Yeah.
Like I think people should pick beliefs that work for them and feel true to them and make them feel good. And I think like what I've found is that when people believe that life is random, it's really easy to live in victimhood when bad things happen. So like you have some, for me, it's been like a health thing or like my father, sudden death or like shit happens in life, man. And I think if you believe that it's bad luck, like, that's a, for me, like a recipe for, well, how come this didn't happen to my friend and it happened to me? And like, why did this
Right.
happen now? And it's just, there's a lot, it's very easy to get in victimhood there. Whereas like with the belief, what I've found having lived in that world and then like now living in this world where I feel like I'm like my experience, human experience here on Earth is like really a school. It's a school for me to grow and evolve my soul and the aspect of myself that goes beyond this life. As I encounter these different things, it's just much more empowering to be like, okay, like this is what's next.
Yeah.
This is the next part of the journey.
I think one of the things that we read about relationships is that we're drawn to the people that kind of are designed almost to tickle our sensitive
Oh,
parts
yeah.
to fix and repair whatever has happened. So Well, so I found it's really interesting that like there's this parallel and like that's pretty well known around attachment theory and kind of relationships. And then there is when you become a parent, you sort of start remembering all the stuff that you were doing that wasn't very effective, as you were a kid, and you start working out for more of the, parenting issues as well that kind of you had. And I think a weird theory of mine is that the startup journey, you're attracted to being a founder or certain like professional things, if you're intentional about them, they're supposed to also in some ways be really exciting and meaningful, but also challenge you, in areas where you kind of that you're not super comfortable. And so for me, for example, I knew that like I never like sales was something that people say you should do, but very few people do in business school. And so I kind of deliberately kind of went there, even though I wasn't comfortable, but I kind of knew that to go beyond the comfort, you're gonna need to face the fear of rejection or being ignored or avoided or whatever, we have in kind of when we're trying to do that. So what's your take on the sort of, are we attracting in our professional journeys and personal journeys, these challenges on
I think
purpose, and
it's
then how do we deal with that?
yeah, I don't claim to know the answer, but I'll happy to share just like how I relate to it is like my personal belief is that we actually essentially choose what we want to experience in a lifetime before we come into the incarnation. So
Okay.
like we have like a soul and it's like, hey, I want to grow this particular way. Like I want to, become more loving, or I want to like really feel like prove to myself that I can do something hard, right? And so we choose a particular life incarnation that allows us to have that growth experience. And so as we are going about our life, I think we are kind of like maneuvering within this template, and there are those things coming up that are we're attracting in that are there to help us grow. But I think that growth is in a particular way. I don't think it's, at least for me, like I don't think it's like, well, everything that's hard or scary, I'm going to face because that's just how the laws of reality work, that you just have to face all your hard and scary things. I think it's more like, no, like Scott's higher aspect of himself, like wanted to come in to experience this. And like, as a part of that, he's going to have to face these particular challenges or things that are scary for him. To fulfill that mission, to fulfill that intention for the life. And so, yeah, I mean that's how I think about it. And I think different people have different intentions. Like your intention might be like very contribution oriented, where it's like, I'm here to serve humanity in this particular way. Like for me, I actually think part of my contribution is like, I'm here to help a lot of business people with consciousness stuff.
Got
And
it.
like, but somebody else's might just be like, I'm here to like learn how to love myself. I'm here to like learn how to be a good dad, and some of those lessons, some of those journeys might even be really, really hard.
Yeah.
So that's how I relate to it and what resonates with me, and but
So
I'm more than
one way
willing
of
to know.
thinking then about this is if I kind of bring this together, is that you can one journey, and I think this is sort of where we agree, like if we think about the world that is two by two, right? And you could be sort of bring great things into the world, but do them in a way that is like aware and like brings like a joyful and not like kind of becomes more and more progressively, positive. Let's like kind of that you're enjoying whatever it is that you're creating. That kind of combines, right? Like it sounds like that sort of combines this sort of a achievement, accomplishment ethos, and that is, let's say, the zeitgeist of the world that we live in today, together with maybe this sort of eternal, essential kind of human search for, for finding happiness or pursuit of happiness, at least in the broadly defined terms, not like in a material term, but kind of like enjoying life. And I think that's not an obvious dimensions, right? Because to survive, we probably needed to accomplish and get status and things like that, right? And so this is where it feels like is the where your work is leading us to, right? Like finding that connection between the two things that normally don't necessarily need to go together.
Well, I think that's right, where I think this is where we're all heading. I think this is where the next phase for a lot of humanity is, like, it's moving out of this polarity of one or the other and into this integration of, like, yes, we want to enjoy our experience, we want to create beautiful things, but we also want to become whole and understand who we are and understand what reality is. And, like, you're right. Those things have typically been divorced. Typically, what we've done is we've said we're gonna enjoy material reality so that we can try to feel good, instead of say we're actually gonna work on fundamental well-being through consciousness, and we're also gonna work on our awareness, and that awareness is actually gonna help us become more capable of navigating material reality.
Beautiful. Scott, this is a mic drop. Those that want to learn how to do it, there's some tips. Tune in to the second part of this podcast where we're going to meet again and we're going to go through some of the examples of how you've done this yourself and your playbook that you've developed that could help people accomplish it. Scott, thank you so
Sounds
much for
amazing.
joining us.
Thanks
All
for
right.
having me, Alex. This was epic.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun. Welcome back. Alex Shevelenko here. Thank you so much for listening to Experience Focused Leaders podcast. You can learn more about us at podcast.relayto.com, RELYTO.com. Obviously, we would love for you to send this to people that you know who would be great speakers, or just share the nuggets that you took away from this episode with your community on social. And you could learn more about what we're up to on relayto.com. You could certainly connect with me on LinkedIn, where it's just very easy to spell my name. You have to have a master's in Ukrainian. It's Shevelenko, Shevelenko. Would love to connect so that we can move together the way the world communicates about its most important ideas. Thank you for listening. We hope to see you next time.